It's Thursday, May 22nd, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're continuing part two of a message in Matthew chapter 13 titled Life Among the Weeds.
We have to be patient in all the antagonism, the discouragements with people, the hardships that make us want to give up, get weary, and easy to become hyper-judgmental on those people, isn't it? Amidst the pain that this reality brings, that there is the reality that the devil has weeds planted among us. And that's why the Lord hasn't put a stop to this yet for the sake of his wheat.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Remember, this is evidence of the blessing. The soils that he had just described that aren't interested in God and his kingdom. Notice there, these are the soils that have rejected this word, but the good soil hears and understands the word and grasps the word and bears fruit in his life. That's what he just said. So it's the good soil that Jesus is now speaking to so that they would bear fruit. We have a strikingly clear presentation of meaning here of this parable. It's just one blow after blow after blow for clarity, isn't it? He just says, the sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. It's me, says Jesus. I'm the sower. The field is the world. The good seed being sown are the sons of the kingdom. The bad being sown are the sons of the wicked one. Now, when we begin to understand the importance of this, imagine not understanding that truth. God is telling us that all throughout history, there has been a development in his kingdom, in his creation, in his general rule over all the world. So we've kind of moved from the hearing of the word out now in the second parable to the world, looking at the world and what's happening and how we live in this world. In the great sphere of his kingdom rule, the devil has taken his seed and desperately tried to intermingle the wicked sons of his kingdom, of his influence, with the sons of God so closely that at times it's indistinguishable. You understand the challenge of that? He says that when he says, if you uproot the weeds, you might get a wheat. He's telling us this. I think the answer is simple. To help us and encourage us. Think of all the discouragements we see living in this world. How frustrated is it to see wickedness everywhere? Think of what it does to you. And we see it in our own hearts. And we might never stop and think of the real thing that's happening. The real thing that's happening. As if all this is okay. As if all this is normal. As if this is the end for which God made things, that it would just be like this. That this is acceptable. Think of all the problems we see. And all the levels of, and just the, you know, you can't even go on social media now and you see live murders and deaths of people. We're not made to see that, but that's what we see. Jesus wanted perspective on this for us. He wants to help us. He wants to encourage us. The devil has attempted to rip up everything good. He is like a muddy dog running through your beautiful white living room. Has that ever happened? Tell me about it if it has. The great question of the parable is this. Why does the Lord keep this going? Why does this seem like it never ends? It's a striking thing, verse 26, when he says, but when the grain sprouted, it produced a crop. But then the tares also appeared. In other words, what Jesus is saying is this obnoxious weed in his kingdom, you can't tell the difference in the early stages from the wheat until they mature. They're still in the early stage. They're still a blade. You just can't tell the difference. But at some point, on the wheat, an ear appears, and on the tares, this blade appears. But at some point, the kind of fruit appropriate to what kind of son it is shows itself. And that's why Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. If God's word is doing the work to bear fruit in people's lives, that's just what we'll see. And I see it all the time among you. But notice what Jesus said. This phenomenon doesn't show up until one buds. Now, you think of yourself. I've used this example, but I think it's helpful because it's my own experience of my own father. People know I was raised in the Reformed Church. We went to the Reformed Church all of our life. I was baptized in it. And he was a very well-known basketball coach in the community at the local public school, a large public school. And every week, my dad was so faithful to have us in church. But he would tell you it was all merely routine. There was absolutely no budding in his life until 50. He wasn't regenerate, but he was in church every week. Now, it's a pretty remarkable thing to think of the Lord's patience, isn't it? He just did it. We stopped by the local store every Sunday and got our lifesavers. It wasn't mints, it was lifesavers. We did the routine. And yet there was a little prayer in the home. That's not an indictment. That's that the Lord worked in him to bud that life at a certain point when he had not been that way for 50 years. He'd tell you that. Are there any like that here? The word is absent really from life, but you just are here for the routine, the tradition, the culture. Well, I live that. It was me too. I think the next two parables put in the middle of this answer this question as to why the Lord keeps all this project going. And he put forth another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. His point is to say, this is the entire way the kingdom of God grows. The seed is so tiny at first, but the end result is it's fully grown like a tree, so much so that it gives shade to all the birds. Both parables make the same point. What Jesus is emphasizing in many ways here, especially in the parable of this seed, the mustard seed, is how slow the kingdom comes. One day a farmer went out, looks out in his field. Oh, finally, there's a blade. And then a head. And then grain. Now think of the monotony of that. It is not fun to watch grass grow. I don't control germination. That's definitely true. Day after day, Jesus says, emphasizes, goes to bed, and he rises. This just keeps going on and on and on, never seems to stop. How many problems with weather? How many problems with crops? And then there's the weeds. And you see, this is what the whole kingdom of God is like. Nothing seems to be happening. My struggle with Christianity is that at times, because I want to see better results. I want to see things now. I mean, we're addicted to that, you know, supersize it, right? Don't eat that stuff. It's not good for you. Is anything happening? Is there any life in this? And this is the most encouraging parable for us. At some point, the mustard seed in the kingdom shoots are everywhere. And that kingdom, when it comes in fullness on his day, you're going to see it. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come, come in fullness. It's the most important parable to understand how the kingdom works, how the kingdom operates. Every week as a pastor, let's just say, I scatter seed. This is the language. I scatter seed. Year after year, how many sermons have I preached now being here since 2012? Probably well over 1,000. I've just scattered. I've thrown the seed out. I've continued to give the word, and I give my best to be faithful to that. And you wonder at times when you have opposition and people leave for dumb reasons. Is anything happening? And all of a sudden, something does. It's the same for you and all of your service and work in the kingdom. It may seem insignificant. It may seem that you've done nothing of real value. Think of the difficulty just raising children. Think of the monotony for our moms. Think of the challenge of that. Every day we rise, we do the same thing. We do the same thing. And they just keep doing the same dumb things. Is anything going to change? It affects child rearing, the way we look at it, right? We can feel like we're making no progress in our labors to raise and train our children, all the efforts and prayers. And then one day the blade comes. It challenges priorities, of course. What are we sowing in our homes? What would you never miss for your children? We reap what we sow. Are we communicating to these little plants? Are we feeding these little plants with the word? Not making sure that we have communicated to them everything else is more important. But here's my point. It's God's work. Ultimately, when I have a young person walk up to me at a young age and say, Pastor, I want to profess my faith, I say, all worth it. That just happened, right? A blade just popped. It's budding. We should never tell them to wait to profess faith if the bud is showing. Profess faith. You're a child of God. Encourage it. Beautiful. It gives a perspective with that person that you have prayed for, tried to talk to for years. Nothing happens. Nothing but a hardened heart. And you just keep working and you pray for that person. Maybe it's a son or a daughter, or maybe it's a mother or a father. And then one day, boom, the blade comes. Could be on deathbed. The bud, it buds. Same with the parable of the leaven. The growth is hidden. Did you notice that? It's like a woman. She had hid the measures until it was leavened. This is actually a positive presentation of leaven here. She hid it until it was fully leavened. Nobody saw it in that time, and it was hidden. See how important this all is. So the question of the angels is important. Do you want us to go and uproot the tares? No. You might get a weed. That is such an amazing, merciful, gospel-like statement of God's love for his sheep. I'm not letting my wheat be pulled up, not one of them. Now, while you're doing that, that might happen. And the message there is simple. We have to be patient, don't we? I you know, at times I think pastors can be impatient with the flock. And I think at times I've probably done that. You know, I want to see more, right? And then I have to stop and say, maybe I should look for more in myself, right? It's God's work. We have to be patient in all the antagonism, the discouragements with people, the hardships that make us want to give up, get weary, and easy to become hyper-judgmental on those people, isn't it? Amidst the pain that this reality brings, that there is the reality that the devil has weeds planted among us. And that's why the Lord hasn't put a stop to this yet for the sake of his wheat. That's what Peter said. You know why this project hasn't ended yet? It's because the Lord is slow and not slow in giving us the promise. He's not withholding what he promised, but he's long-suffering toward us. If you have a son or a child that's run, think about that. The end's not come. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's being long-suffering toward his wheat. All of them will be gathered into the kingdom. There are still a lot of blades out there that are indistinguishable from the tares that have not yet budded. And you see, Jesus is calling us to patience in this, into investment in this, because the fields are indeed white for the what? Harvest. Some have not come in yet. Once the last of the elect come in, it's over. That's what he says. So as we consider the patience here, this is the reason you have to remember the kingdom life is hard in the world, why we experience so much turmoil in the world. This is why Paul said, I do all things for the sake of the elect, even though I'm constantly attacked by all these weeds. As one pastor said, when Christ is preached, where Christ is preached, whenever Christ is preached, you can be sure the Antichrist will raise his voice. Whenever the kingdom of heaven is showing itself with ears popping up on the wheat, you can be sure that Satan will do all he can to match that and trouble that and disturb that. This is why Jesus was saying, when you cause one of the little ones to stumble, it'd be better if a millstone were put around your neck and you're dropped in the middle of the sea. He's caring for his wheat. So as we're in the world, we remember these things. There's one last thing the parable assures us of this morning that would encourage us, I think, to go and press on. And notice how he ends the parable in verse 39. The harvest is the end. The harvest is the end of the age. This is important that the tares are going to be gathered. Did you notice this? Let both grow together until the harvest of verse 30. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but the wheat gather into my barn. And you'll notice, just as the weeds, verse 40, are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. So there's no rapture, by the way. There's no pre-tribulational rapture. They both grow together until the end. I just had to say that. It's actually the weeds that are pulled up first. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all that causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you hear? The Son of Man's going to come, and he's going to remedy all this soon. He's going to separate this. He's going to make clear. And the tares who practice lawlessness will go into a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says his righteous, his wheat, that's you. You're going to shine like the sun in his kingdom. Of your Father. Did you notice that? Of your Father. You know him. You will shine. There will be no more sorrows. There will be no more tears. There will be no more crying. There will be no more misery. There will be no more death. All this is done. All these former things have passed away. Jesus explained it to them because their eyes and their ears were blessed to have this kind of understanding. So it's given to you too today. Let it encourage you that no matter the struggle, to be patient. He is keeping us. He will keep us. He won't lose any of his wheat. His kingdom is growing, and the great promise that he made must ring out that he will give later in Matthew. What did he say? The gates of hell will not prevail. It will be a kingdom, glorious, full of people, full of a kingdom that is powerful, a kingdom that gives praise to God for his great work, a bringing in through the harvest, a multitude no man can number. Let's praise him. Prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you for this powerful parable, and thank you for encouraging us to be patient in the work, in the ministry, and what's most important. Bless us, O Lord, and strengthen us. And may all of, Lord, your wheat bear much fruit on good soil in their life, good soil of the heart through the ministry of the word and making that word central in all that we do. It's sad that more people will find delight in a football game today than in hearing the word of God, which is powerful to save them. In the greatest event of history, the cross, where Jesus died and rose again to triumph over sin and death. Thank you for your mercies, and if there be any, O Lord, distressed about where they stand, your message is clear. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give rest for your souls. Thank you for such words to us. May we all bear godly fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.